Thank you. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, from whom all good proceeds, grant that by thy inspiration we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guidance may do them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated to attend to the readings.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the God, to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in reading from Psalm 33 antiphonally, by whole verse. Those sitting on the lector side will read the verses in bold. Those sitting on the choir side will read the verses not in bold. Rejoice in God, you righteous. It is good for the just to sing praises.
Praise God with the harp. Play upon the psaltery and lyre.
Sing for God a new song. Sound a fanfare with all your skill upon the trumpet.
For your word, O God, is right, and all your works are sure.
You love righteousness and justice. Your loving kindness fills the whole earth.
By your word, O God, were the heavens made. By the breath of your mouth, all the heavenly hosts.
You gather up the waters of the ocean as in a water skin, and store up the depths of the sea.
Let all the earth fear you. Let all who dwell in the world stand in awe of you.
For you spoke, and it came to pass. You commanded, and it stood fast.
You bring the will of the nations to naught. You thwart the designs of the peoples.
But your will stands fast forever, and the designs of your heart from age to age.
Happy is the nation that worships you, O Most High. Happy the people you have chosen to be your own.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. For those of you I haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Anthony Amato, and I attend Virginia Theological Seminary. St. Martin's is my sponsoring parish, so I'm very honored to be here worshiping with all of you throughout the summer. Given where we find ourselves in the world right now, given all the wars, diseases, and political crises that constantly surround us, I'd like us to take this time to talk about mercy. Mercy can be described as acts of love. Things like forgiveness, generosity, kindness, and hospitality. These things are great on their own, but Scripture tells us that anyone can love their family and friends, even the wicked. The thing that makes an act of love merciful is when it is offered to those who have done nothing to earn it. Mercy is when things like love and forgiveness are given freely, with no expectation of reward or compensation. I would encourage us to see God's promise to Abraham as an act of mercy. It's merciful because God's call was entirely unprompted. God promises Abraham that he will be the ancestor to a great nation, and that through him, all the families of the world will be blessed. We call this promise the Abrahamic covenant, and it's a promise that Abraham had done nothing to earn. The story also teaches us that mercy is outward facing and inclusive. The Abrahamic covenant can appear on its surface to be a story of exclusion, God choosing one man, one family, one people. But God's intention is actually very universal in scope. God desires to bless Abraham, but only so that all of humanity will be blessed in turn. Abraham responds to God's call with faith, but not in the way we typically think of when we think of expressions of faith. He doesn't know the Nicene Creed, nor is he able to confess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Instead, the faith that Abraham demonstrates is in the form of trust, simply following God's command to travel to Canaan. Paul says that this is the kind of faith that makes one righteous, a faith rooted in trust. This brings us to today's gospel passage. In it, we encounter Jesus doing something that would have absolutely scandalized the religious leaders of his day. He calls a tax collector named Matthew to be his disciple. Matthew is so moved by this that he invites Jesus into his home and offers him a place at his table. It is here that Jesus shares a meal with some more tax collectors and sinners. The two terms might as well be synonymous. Keep in mind that Jewish tax collectors were considered traitors to their people, collaborators with Roman occupation, and ceremonially unclean. Yet here is Jesus reclining at their table, sharing their food, and enjoying their company. "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" asked the Pharisees. Jesus responds, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Now, when he says this, Jesus is talking about more than just the animal sacrifices that you would offer at the temple in Jerusalem. In this context, Jesus seems to be using the term sacrifice as a stand-in for the whole system of religious gatekeeping, the careful maintenance of purity codes, the meticulous observation of who is clean and who is unclean, the performance of righteousness as a way of distinguishing oneself from sinners. The Jesus in Matthew's gospel is constantly calling out those who preoccupy themselves with who's in and who's out. And unfortunately, this is something that Christians do all too often. Jesus is reminding us that God asks for so much more than strict religious observance. God desires mercy. Later in the same passage, a woman who has been hemorrhaging for 12 years presses through a crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And a synagogue leader falls at Jesus' feet, begging him to heal his dying daughter. In both cases, these people reach toward Jesus before he reaches toward them. And he doesn't turn them away or ask whether they deserve it first. The Son of the God of mercy stops to heal the sick and raise the dead. Mercy cannot be rationed or withheld based on worthiness, and it's always okay to seek mercy out when we need it. James chapter 2, verse 17 says that faith without works is dead. I would be more specific. Faith without mercy is dead. Because if the God we claim to trust is the God of mercy, then mercy is not optional. Mercy is how the world knows that our faith is genuine. When we show mercy, we are endorsing the very way of mercy. We are proclaiming the gospel. We are evangelizing, not with words, but with the mercy that we show others. Why? Because showing love and mercy, especially to outsiders and outcasts, is the very same thing as showing them Christ. This matters enormously right now, especially as we approach the 250th anniversary of this nation. And as July approaches, it's worth asking ourselves a serious question. In whom do we actually trust? In whom do we place our faith? Do we put our faith in God and in the way of mercy, or do we put our trust in something else? Our national motto says, "In God we trust." But the dominant message of our political leaders is that the way of strength is the way to righteousness, that power and domination of our enemies is the only logic that makes sense in a world as dangerous as ours. We live our lives being fearful, paranoid, and suspicious of those who are different, and we dress that up as wisdom. We withhold mercy from the immigrant and call that patriotism. We slander and reject our gay and queer neighbors and we call that faithfulness. We endorse Christian nationalism because we believe that it signals religious liberty and strength. Friends, fear and suspicion of our neighbor are not signs of strength. They are signs of a failure of mercy, and thus they are signs of a failure of faith. Fear and suspicion are what it looks like when we have placed our faith somewhere other than God. We have put our faith in the way of self-preservation. Fortunately, we have Jesus who isn't just a model for mercy, rather he is mercy incarnate. So as we come to this table, the same table at which the promise to Abraham is still being fulfilled in Christ every single day, the same table that has always had room for sinners, I invite you to consider, what would it look like to leave here today and live mercifully? Not just toward the people we already love, but toward the ones we have decided are unworthy, the ones we are afraid of, the ones who vote differently from us, the ones we don't usually invite to our table. Mercy is what faith looks like when it is alive. Mercy is the way of our God, our rock, in whom we put our trust. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body and mind or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them to the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list.
We pray for students who are taking final exams.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. We pray for the repose of the soul of Diane Johnson and for her family and friends who mourn.
We also pray for the repose of the souls of Lillian Dong and Andre Rivamonte, and for their family and friends who mourn.
Lord, in your mercy,
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you, by thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may live in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Beloved, the peace of Christ be always with you.
Good morning, Saints of St. Martin's. How are you? It is a delight to be before you. Hello, my name is May. I am a member of the Vestry, and I'm here to point your attention to this lovely, lovely shade of yellow paper that is in your bulletin right now. If you want to take a look at that at your own leisure, I invite you to do so. At this time, I will point to a few things that will capture your attention, I promise. So, first of all, this summer, we have a summer Sunday choir. Isn't that lovely? That's great. If you want to be a part of this fantastic group, just come a little bit early at 9:15 on Sunday mornings, and you'll be able to learn the song for the Sunday. That'd be great. That'd be a good time. I highly recommend it. I welcome you all to join. Coming next week on June 14th, 6:30 in the Narthex, we're having a Tazay worship service planned by none other than Desai Judd. It is going to be a fantastic experience. I highly recommend all of you to come join it. It is moving, very moving. Vacation Bible School is coming, which I'm sure the kids are all very, very excited about. You can find the link to register at the very bottom of your yellow sheet. We are looking for a St. Martin's rep for the DCMH meals on Saturday. If you are interested, please reach out to the church and we'll help get you plugged in. Finally, of course, we mentioned this in our prayers, but Diane Johnson unfortunately has passed away. Her burial will be on June 8th at 12 p.m. at Davis Cemetery. All that being said, I will pass it along.
You think this is easy? Anybody else? First of all, let me say how delighted we are to have the return of the native, our own Anthony, back home. Anthony is two-thirds through the seminary experience. He is a postulant. See, even things happen when you're just here worshiping. You may notice that the clergy are wearing orange. Today, we wear orange in remembrance that this is the Bishop's Sunday to remember gun violence in our nation, which continues unabated. And so when we have an opportunity to remind ourselves of this national tragedy, we do so, hence the orange stoles. I would remind you that the service for Diane is tomorrow at noon at Davis Cemetery, and you would, any of you who remember her and would like to be there, that will be an opportunity for you to do so. Do we have any breakthroughs, any celebrations or milestones?
I have one that was sent to me. It's a big one. David and Jean Lyon celebrated their 73rd wedding anniversary yesterday.
Bravo. Anybody else? Yes, Libba. Good. Somebody over here. Yes.
I'm proud to say that my granddaughter was in the choir today.
Good. Thank you. Yes. Go ahead. All right. Yeah. He wasn't going to tell us, was he? He wasn't going to tell us, was he? I tell you, in this congregation, you get ratted out. Yes. Other graduates we forget about. Yeah.
We have a very good friend from kids, our 50-year parish, Jacob Camp, is graduating on Saturday. Her name is Gwen. It's our event coming, and I get to go to graduation.
Great. Graduations are wonderful, wonderful affairs. Anybody else? Yes. Wonderful. Finished graduate school and got married all in 1 year. Ooh. Yes, ma'am.
One of my friends in eighth grade graduated to high school.
Congratulations. Lots of graduations and special moments. Let's say together our prayer for celebrations and milestones.
Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when the scourge is sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, renew a peace which passes all understanding. Abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that moon away, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being, sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices and to magnify you as we sing. And honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took a cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now, gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ, crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with Blessed Martin and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever.
Amen.
Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we now pray first in Spanish and then in English.
Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria.
Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Diane, we send you forth bearing these holy gifts that those whom you visit will share in Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body because we all share one bread, one cup. Amen. Our prayers go with you.
Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Advocate, bless you and keep you in eternal love.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.